First, you supported Obama's Trans-Pacific Partnership deal, and then you were against it. I think that people deserve to know. Are you down with TPP?
I'm not down with TPP.
No, you're supposed to say, yeah, you know me. Like the hip-hop group.
Don't tell me what to say.
Very awkward interview. Supposed to be awkward and certainly delivered.
Zach Galifianakis is Between Two Ferns, sat down with Hillary Clinton. She's reaching out to the millennials. Mm-hmm. That is her thing. Is it working, kids? Is it millennials? Is it working? Is it working for you, Violetta?
It is pretty hilarious. Though I'm going to say maybe.
Oh. It's maybe working
strong
for you?
Strong maybe.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, working
yeah,
for you?
A little.
A little?
Been there, done that.
Yeah. Okay. Because Between Two Ferns is a very, very funny
it is.
Show.
It's so good. And Zach Galifianakis is...
It's great. He's great at creating awkward. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole idea. Zach Galifianakis, you know, from The Hangover and a bunch of other great movies. He is he does a talk show and he just asks these very, very bizarro questions.
I think what works is she knows who she is. Like, she knows she's not funny. And that's what makes it funny to me.
Mm-hmm. She wasn't trying. They were trying too hard to be funny or anything.
You know, people who know her say she does have a sense of humor. She should show it.
Well, it's good too because they don't have to be funny because it's the awkwardness alone is what makes it great. So it's like easy for them.
Trump has a sense of humor, but his sense of humor is he's, you know, mean to people, right? He thinks it's cool to you know, jack somebody up when he sees them.
Or it's like crazy uncle at the dinner table with a racist joke or something.
Right. So true.
Going in for the high five, no one's
right, everyone's like, whoa.
Too far.
Over the line there.
Back in the basement.
So can you pass the gravy, please?
So a colored Jew and a Catholic walk into a bar.
Right. Everyone's like, oh,
never
boy.
Like, rolling
oh, no.
Their
oh,
eyes,
no, no,
like,
no, no,
here
no,
he
no.
Goes.
No, 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 no. Grandpa, no.
Yeah, that's what his jokes would be.
Oh, no. You know what you know? Oh, no. Oh,
you guys
I hear
someone coming up the steps?
I heard. Oh, I can hear it right now. Yeah, no. It's. Oh.
Yes.
Did anybody call for me?
Nope.
I thought I heard my name now, so there's that. I love that Catholic Jew joke.
That's your go-to?
I remember Violetta, I told it at Thanksgiving last year, and it got quite a reaction from the people.
What are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful that Donald Trump is going to be my next president. I'm very thankful for that. Aren't you thankful for that? You know, you'd be a communist if you weren't thankful for it. Or maybe he's a communist. I can't remember. Anyway, I've got to go back down into my hole now.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
So, wait, but let me just...
Okay, bye.
No, I just want to tell you this one story.
Oh, God.
Oh. That's okay. You can go now.
Thank you.
You can go.
Thank you.
Okay, all right.
We'll look forward to it next time.
Okay.
You know, he could probably use one of those, not the heat lamp.
The heat lamp, but, the turtle heat lamp.
Yeah, for, you know, to get, it's probably dark down there. He may need some
I wouldn't. I don't want to help him. I like him just the way he is.
Mm-hmm. Probably got his windows covered and shuttered up.
Michael Steele is joining us. You know him. He is the chairman, past chairman of the Republican National Committee. And now you can see him on the MSNBC.
Hooray.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you must be so proud. All right. Okay, so did you see Between Two Ferns?
I did.
Yeah, do you think is that a smart move for a politician to do? Should Trump do it?
Oh, I think anytime you can put yourself in a situation where you laugh at yourself and make fun of yourself and you're not taking things around you too seriously, it's a good thing, depending on how you do it. You know, for some people, it can be a little bit awkward. Mm. But
and did you think that one was awkward? I mean, it's supposed to be awkward.
It's designed to be awkward. Mm-hmm. I mean, because Galifianakis, she had no idea where it's going to come from. I mean, I'm sure some of that, like at the very beginning with the Secret Service, was sort of the scripted part. But then again, you don't know, because, I mean, when they picked him up off the floor, I was kind of looking at these guys to see if they were real Secret Service people, you know. But you just don't know. And that's always great to be in a situation of the unexpected. And I guess that's her way of kind of warming up for Monday night.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess. Hey, you know, all right, let's talk about that a little bit, because you've been around this. You've seen this for sure, this whole notion of the run-up to these guys practicing and deciding what it is that to get ready for a debate prep. They want to have their data right. They want to have their arguments right. They want to be prepared for almost anything that the other person can say. And we're being told by the Trump campaign that that's just not the way that Mr. Trump operates.
He's not going to do that.
He's going to take the day off before and bone up on a few things, but that's just not the way it is. My guess is, I'm going to turn over a new leaf here, Michael. I'm going to try, because he's going to be our fearless leader.
You said that.
Yeah.
Go ahead. I'm not
going to criticize him. I'm just going to ask a question, and that is it because he doesn't really have the attention span to sit around for 4 days in practice?
I think there's some truth to that. But again, let's not create a false equivalency that a short attention span is, you know, a lack of intelligence.
It's often a sign of genius. It really is.
It really is. Yeah. And I mean, I have one of my sons has a horrible attention span, but he's like a borderline savant. And it's just like, oh, okay, I get it. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's all kind of wrapped up in all kinds of stuff. So you can't judge that book by that particular cover. And I think for Donald Trump, and this is smart for them, they're not trying to put him in that box that you just described. That's Hillary's box. That's what Hillary's doing. Here's where Hillary's going to have a problem. Hillary is also playing outside of her box. So they're bringing in psychologists. They're having all these people do all these wild and crazy things around her to sort of throw her off. And I'm like, you know, that's not necessarily what you may get with Donald Trump on that stage.
Right. What if he plays it down the middle? Then that's going to totally – then she's practicing for the unexpected.
Yeah. Where does she go if he performs as he did in several of those debates during the primary, where he was like straight down the middle, sharp, smart answers with a quip here or there? And where do you go if you're looking to throw him into an embarrassing moment?
Okay, well, I think the difference here, Michael, is that in those debates there were 16 other guys on the stage, right? So he was taking up more than just 1/16 of the time, right? Because remember, there were some that they never paid any attention to whatsoever.
Like Ben Carson was on one side, like, hey, I wish someone would insult me
over
so
here.
I get to talk. And
but he's going to have to. But this is 50-50. I mean, this is a lot of airtime. It's 90 minutes and no commercial breaks. And he's going to be up there having to deal with this Lester Holt and her and whatever else comes at him for 45 minutes. So there's a lot of surface area in which he could erupt. And that's the thing. I think that's what they're going to try and do, is get under his skin. Because he does punch back really, really hard. And if he punches back too hard on her, or if he whiffs on a punch, then I think that's what they're looking for. They're looking, just a fight analogy here, I think they want him to overswing, either tire himself out or because when he gets tired, that's when he says stupid things.
Yeah, no, I agree. And so the challenge or the test for the Trump campaign is like you do with any boxer, you know, with a prize fighter. You just kind of, okay, so this is how you deal with that. This is you get them mentally prepared in a way that allows them to sort of challenge themselves. Because, you know, it really, you know, the thing about a debate is not necessarily your opponent beating you, it's you beating yourself. And that's a big, I think, a big part of what Donald Trump is probably going to be challenged with, is how not to beat himself because it's a one-on-one. He doesn't have 15 other people that he can sort of fade off to the side and let someone else box for a bit. When it's not her turn boxing, it'll be his. And so he's got to be ready for that.
Hillary Clinton's people, Michael, are saying, you know, hey, she's going to prepare for all different sorts of Trumps that might show up, whether it's the name calling crazier Trump, calling her crooked Hillary and that kind of thing, or if it's going to be the more restrained Trump we saw in Mexico City trying to look presidential. And, you know, it just it's smart to do that. Which one, if you had to bet, what do you think?
Or Black Trump when he shows up in a black church and he
says the police
are
terrible.
By the way, the police, Black Lives Matter. I've been saying it the whole time, okay? So true, so sad.
Yeah, who do you think is going to show up?
I think a little bit of all of that. I think in all of those personalities, if you will, for Trump that can flummox a candidate. Look, he can, you know, when it comes to the conversation about, you know, he's been having recently about, you know, what's going on in the black community, that would be a very interesting to see two white folks standing up on a stage arguing about black people. It would be very...
You know what he should do? Should have that woman from Ohio come out and explain herself again. That was really
right.
Something. He had a county campaign chairperson who said, there was no racism before Obama.
If
you are not a success in America, that is all your fault.
I know.
How do you feel about that, Michael?
It's just ignorant, and you can't say it. It's because it is. I mean, it's not even a question of malice or racism. It's just downright unfettered ignorance.
Don't you think it's interesting, though? They launched her immediately. The Trump campaign launched her, and they also said she's not going to be an elector, a state elector, which is interesting because she was in as a county chairperson, at least for his campaign. That makes you that sends you to the electoral college, which
right,
is,
sure,
and
yeah.
So. They said, no, she's not going to have anything to do with that. No, she's gone. And I think it is very interesting how he's making these turns. And he was damn near apologetic
yeah.
about yeah. It, certainly when he was talking about the man in Tulsa who was shot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
in fact, it's so funny because I listened to a number of people on various programs. Discussed that, and it was hysterical watching a number of liberal commentators and guests, you know, squirm over having acknowledged that what he said actually was a good point. It was.
I don't think he believes it for a second.
Point.
I think he's saying it right there. He's going to get out. He's going to go to the next stop and go. By the way, Copper, totally right. Should have shot him more.
It did seem to be like a different message tailored for that certain audience.
Yes. I mean, I think
when you take what he said, and he was right about what he said. Now, you know, we can question the motivations of all of these folks.
For sure. I know. I get it. Hillary's just as bad. I get it.
I'm not. I'm just saying, not just Hillary. I'm talking to both parties. I mean, all of them. I know, question the motivations of them. But, you know, whether they're motivated for the right or wrong reasons, when they say the right thing, you have to acknowledge the right thing has been said, and he's right. I mean, you know, I asked the question on Hardball last night, so you tell me what I need to tell my sons when they go out in public, because apparently if they are handcuffed, they'll get shot and killed. If they are on the ground with a police officer with his knee in their neck, they'll get shot and killed. If they're in the back of a police wagon, handcuffed, they'll wind up dead. So tell me what they need to do to avoid that outcome.
Hey,
when they encounter the police.
My dentist talked to me about that. Mm-hmm. Said I saw this guy last night on MSNBC.
Oh.
He's a Republican of some sort, but he's black. this was a great moment. But he's black, and he was talking about his son. And I go,
interesting.
Oh, Michael Steele, tune in today at 3:40, and you will hear him. And you know, we've talked about your son a number of times. We've talked about this exact issue a number of times, both on and off the
yeah.
air. This is a real debate. I just don't know if Donald Trump's the right guy to have it, but it is a real debate. All right, we got to run.
Well,
you got to run.
You know what?
What?
Yeah, I know. But I'll just say real quick, you know, who knows how the message will come and who the messenger will be. Mm-hmm. The important thing is that when the message is delivered, we have to begin to decide just whether or not it's time to act on it. And I think whether it's Donald Trump or Hillary Clinton or anyone else, that we need to think about the very question that I posed. Tell me what we need to do so that these young men don't have to go outside in fear when they have an encounter with police. That's all.
All right. Thank you, Michael Steele.
Thanks, Michael.
Black guy Republican. Right. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, bye. Guys. Take care.
All right. Here's Violeta Padromedic, Serbian traffic reporter.